His Chicken stories we're following for you today on Robin Hood Radio. A wild weather ride yesterday in northwest Connecticut, which started with a tornado watch and ended up with a tornado touching down. First in Sharon at Paley's Farm Market, then along the White Hollow Road, and then finally a more major touchdown just south of Housatonic Valley Regional High School in Falls Village. As of last night, no injuries reported, lots of property damage, lots of trees down, and lots of detours on roads. But it appears we escaped from this tornado relatively unscathed, except for some property damage. There is a blood drive going on at the White Hart Inn in the banquet room today from 11 until 4. To schedule an appointment, 1-800-RED-CROSS, 1-800-733-2767, or visit online redcrossblood.org. In Salisbury, the Board of Selectmen's meeting for today has been canceled. Meanwhile, the Conservation Commission has a meeting tonight at 6:30 at Town Hall. The Town of Dover Planning Board has a meeting set for tonight at 7 o'clock. It'll be held virtually via Zoom, streamed on the Town of Dover YouTube channel as well. The Town of Sheffield Select Board meeting for tonight is a virtual meeting at 7 o'clock. Dial in at 605-313-5968. At 7:30 tonight in Cornwall, the Agricultural Advisory Committee has a meeting. At the Sheffield Board of Assessors meeting, that is happening tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. It is a virtual meeting. Phone 425-436-6322, access code 142741. In Cornwall, the Board of Selectmen have a meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 at Town Hall. Coming up on the 5th, view of Cornwall Consolidated School in the fall. That is a Zoom meeting at 4:15. The Regional Middle School Athletic Activities Committee meeting in Region 1 will happen on Wednesday the 5th at 6 p.m., a Zoom conference call. For more information, check with the Region 1 website. A reminder, in Cornwall, the deadline for voter registration by mail is on August the 6th. Coming up on August the 8th in Cornwall, a discussion on COVID and college at the Cornwall Library at 5 p.m. The International Motorsports Association announced this past weekend it's shifting the Northeast Grand Prix, usually held at Lime Rock Park in Salisbury, to the Charlotte Motor Speedway as part of the NASCAR event weekend, October 9th and 10th. The event had previously been moved from its traditional July date. IMSA said the realignments were necessary because of the pandemic. Quote, "We deeply regret not hosting IMSA Northeast Grand Prix this year, but clearly understand the obstacles IMSA was presented with," end quote. That from Lime Rock President Skip Barber. Fans who had purchased tickets for the Northeast Grand Prix will receive a communication regarding their options in coming days. Lime Rock is still working on plans to host the 38th Annual Historic Festival September 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. Housatonic Valley Regional High School, when it reopens for students September 8th, will be operating on a hybrid model. During a Zoom presentation this week, by the way, that Zoom presentation is available at our CATV6 Robin Hood Radio TV website, catv6.com, under the Vimeo link. During that meeting, Principal Ian Sturver said the leadership team believes that's the best option at this time. In-person classes will be held 4 days a week. Students will be divided into two cohorts, with 50% attending Monday and Tuesday, the other 50% Thursday and Friday. Wednesdays will be for students to meet virtually with teachers. Professional development for staff, opportunity for a thorough cleaning of the building. Some students may be in both cohorts if they are identified as needing to be in school daily. Enrollment now is at 315. For just this year, the school will follow a block schedule. Masks must be worn at all times unless there's an excuse from a health provider. There'll be an isolation room for anybody showing symptoms before being picked up. There'll be extra protection for classes when materials are shared, and only students and staff will be allowed in the building. No visitors will be allowed. More than 150 people, including Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett, turned in on Thursday night to learn more about the town of Copaic's plans to rebuff Hectate Energy's proposed 500-acre solar farm. The size and scale of the proposed project, known as Shepherd's Run Solar Farm, has generated considerable concerns from the local community. That was reflected in the high turnout in the virtual meeting, according to the town's supervisor. Quote, people are invested in following this process and seeing where it goes. Dee Dee Barrett said she will support the town. Quote, whatever we can do, we are with you, end quote. The town hired Rochester-based environmental lawyer Benjamin Wisniewski in the interest of transparency to better understand and respond to the proposed 110,000-megawatt solar project. Wisniewski was retained in April of 2020. The Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference set forth its parameters last week on Friday for a return to play in all traditional high school fall sports, albeit with late starts and shortened seasons. Regular season games will not begin until September 24th. Postseason tournaments are scheduled to end no later than November 15th. That means there'll be no Thanksgiving football games, but the CIAC has decided the health metrics in Connecticut warrant at least an attempt at offering students a chance to return to sports. In addition to short and condensed regular seasons of 6 to 12 games in all sports, teams will play regional schedules against the closest 10 schools to them geographically rather than full conference schedules. Governor Ned Lamont on Friday did sign that police reform bill that makes changes intended to hold police officers more accountable and make policing more transparent in Connecticut. Now, questions still remain over the impact of that new police accountability bill. A story by Paul Hughes in the Republican American on Sunday. Governor Lamont, who signed that sweeping police accountability bill, created a new cause of action for violations of state civil rights and eliminated governmental immunity for defense of reckless or intentional police misconduct. O'Leary said veteran Waterbury officers were talking about putting in their retirement papers while the legislature deliberated over the past 2 weeks. Quote, we've heard that our police department, over 300 members, he said, end quote. The mayor, a former Waterbury police chief, said fears of police losing their homes, life savings, and retirement are misplaced. So does Michael Lawler, a law professor from the University of New Haven. Lawler said concerns about police officers losing everything because of a state jury's unfavorable verdict strike has been overblown. In New York State, all schools must make parents confident in their reopening plans because of parental comfort is the strongest driving force behind New York school districts reopening. That from Governor Andrew Cuomo on Saturday. The state is reviewing about 650 plans in school districts that were submitted to safely reopen amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The governor said during a telephone conference call on Saturday morning, officials are pushing districts for more detailed plans about how they'll keep students safe if they return to campus this fall, including how they will procure adequate testing supplies and personal protective equipment and secure quick turnaround time for COVID-19 results as national labs are experiencing logjams and testing delays. The tentative plan is for many Dutchess County students to return to school in the fall with safety protocols in place. For some, in-person instruction will take place twice a week using hybrid learning models with students split and grouped by last name. And Dutchess schools are now expected this week to post their reopening plans into the week. Several school districts, Rhinebeck, Pine Plains, Beacon, and Hyde Park, have already laid out their ideas. Each released their reopening plans last Thursday and Friday, and all noted that the plans are subject to change next week when Governor Cuomo makes a decision on whether to close schools or not. The Berkshire Hills Regional School District is leaning towards starting school with a hybrid model of remote learning and in-person school, while Teachers Union wants to begin gradually with remote learning only. On the eve of the deadline for the district to tell the state how it plans to educate children during a pandemic, the school committee voted unanimously to give the State Department of Elementary and Secondary Education its tentative hybrid plan that would involve alternating days in school for rotating groups of students, mask wearing, and careful monitoring of student and staff health. Police say Brian Trantier gave heroin to Eva Jones on June 10th, then dropped her off unconscious at the Lone Oaks campground. Trantier, 55, lives in the Massachusetts town of Southfield. He was arrested on a charge of cruelty to persons and is due to appear in Torrington Superior Court in September. Trantier, who has an extensive criminal record, did not have a valid driver's license and already was wanted by state police in Connecticut. When Jones told police about what she remembered of June 10th, she said she met up with another friend who provided her with two Klonopin pills on the way to visiting Trantner and her boyfriend. A key Great Barrington Bridge will reopen by summer of 2021. Sped up permitting and emergency repairs will likely have the Division Street Bridge in Great Barrington open for motorists by next summer, and the town might also be eligible for up to $12 million in state money to eventually replace the span for the long term, according to the town manager. And on Friday afternoon last week, Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey was handed the microphone in Great Barrington in front of Town Hall. A group turned out to hear him speak on Friday, part of his Leads and Delivers re-election campaign around the state. He also made stops in Park Square in Pittsfield and the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams. The Road to Women's Suffrage in Sharon, a new exhibition at the Sharon Historical Society and Museum, will open this coming Saturday and remain on view through Saturday, November 28th. The special exhibition documents the combined efforts of women and men from cities and small towns like Sharon across the state of Connecticut, bringing together photographs, artifacts, and archival documents from collections across Connecticut to illustrate the stories and suffrage movement in Connecticut, Litchfield County, the petitioners from the town of Sharon, and the unfinished battles for equal rights they fight for today. The hours of the Historical Society and Museum are Wednesday through Friday from 12 to 4, Saturdays from 10 till 2. By the way, a lecture coming up, Beyond Seneca Falls, Heather Monroe Prescott, will be held Saturday, August 15th and September 12th from 4 to 5. No registration is required. It's a Zoom meeting. You can join by getting that Zoom site at the Sharon Historical website. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgan's at the Interlaken, interlakenin.com, and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average will start off the week at 26,428.32, the NASDAQ at 10,745.27, and the S&P 500 at 3271.12. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.